Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It is the Brad and Brit cast. I know you live your life by our schedule, so you have the rest of the week off after today. All right. But you know what? Getting two in this week is a pretty good thing. Okay.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
That's how we look at it. I have a big complaint about former President Trump. He launched, according to the headline here, a lengthy, all caps diatribe against Adam Schiff, the congressman from California running for Senate. Calls him a slimeball Adam Shifty Schiff. And by the way, the Shifty Schiff thing, Britt, is that getting better for you? Is that aging well, like nice wine, when he says it?
It's good, but it's always second place to Schiff for Brains. That's always hilarious.
Ah, that's a good one. One of the true lowlifes in the history of politics in America is running for the U.S. Senate in California, a state for which he has done nothing but escalate violent crime, destroy. But wait, so Congress people, U.S. Congress people,
correct,
are in charge of street crime in their district. Is that correct?
You didn't realize this, but especially in California, the members of Congress are also special deputies of whatever sheriff's department they live in. That's a rule.
And defund the police, his authorship of the failed and fully debunked Russia hoax. No, it wasn't. And it wasn't a hoax, but okay. Pencilneck is a wonderful guy. Sadly, between ranked no choice voting and unlimited numbers of mail-in ballots pouring into places unknown to people that sometimes receive many ballots to fill out, Californians are screwed. My objection is you can't just use the phrase pencil neck. If you're going to call someone like Adam Schiff a pencil neck, you need to quote the great Freddie Blassie directly. You need to call him, ready? A grit-eating, scum-sucking, boot-licking, drop-kicking, gut-grinding, nail-biting, glue-sniffing, scab-picking, butt-scratching, egg-hatching, sleazy-smelly, pepper-belly, dirty, lousy, rotten, stinking freak, nothing but a pencil-neck geek. Quote it all the way. Go all in, Don. You're a member of the WWE or F or G Hall of Fame, whatever it was when you were there. Go all the way. That's my complaint. You have the floor, sir.
You're right. I'm not going to. I'm just always curious, and I know this is a fool's folly to get inside it. What sparked this outrage against Adam Schiff for no particular reason? Is it just the neurons misfiring in every direction, or was there a specific reason or something that Adam Schiff did?
I think he's just wailing on Schiff, thinking that he's going to help who? Steve Garvey, who's the Republican, who's like the, you know, he's like the fourth wheel, right? Because you have, remember, in California, the way they have their Senate races, it's just the top two people in the primary. They can be of the same party. So Adam Schiff is likely to be the winner, and he's either going to be running against Katie Porter, very smart woman, or Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Northern California, or Steve Garvey, who we talked about on the previous podcast, the former Los Angeles Dodger, and certainly a pop icon for people under 50 who don't know who the fuck he is. Okay. Play for the Dodgers, right? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for Steve Garvey. See, if I was running his campaign, I would get an AI version of Tommy Lasorda to endorse him. The great man. What do you think?
That's fantastic. Yeah, there's no way to go wrong with that. Can Fernando Valenzuela show up and just swing the Hispanic vote towards Steve Garvey? That's what I'm hoping for.
What, Britt, I'm just guessing. I have no reason to know this or not know this. I'm just guessing Fernando Valenzuela and Steve Garvey were not roommates on the road.
No.
I'm just guessing that. I mean, you couldn't come up with more of white bread and a taqueria, okay, than those two. But that's the Dodgers, right?
One of the last times I remember even thinking about Steve Garvey was when his wife was testifying in the O.J. Simpson trial, because I think she was friends with Nicole Brown Simpson. That trial was 30 years ago. The trial itself was 30 years ago.
Which, by the way, is probably after the embarrassment that should have sent Steve Garvey into permanent exile of him losing his wife to Marvin Hamlish. Okay. Marvin Hamlish.
Well, you know, Marvin's got more money. Marvin's an EGOT guy. He's an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony winner.
So yeah. Did you see the guys on the list? You've seen that big banner that they unfurled at Yankee Stadium when the Dodgers were playing the Yankees. It must have been in a World Series. Unfurled it, and it said Steve ? Marvin Hamlish ?
In this case, God bless the Yankee fans. God bless them for that.
They do comedy. All right. Here we go. The list. The excuse machine gets cranked up to an 11.
Oh, boy.
It's always the Jews. New game. Which is worse, Biden's age or anything? Mike Johnson's New York state of mindlessness, or annoying but interesting new Gallup poll on Joe?
Well, I guess we should go ahead and do the Jews because,
of course,
we did have some ads that were bought by Robert Kraft at the Super Bowl that were standing up to anti-Semitism.
But apparently they weren't effective enough to stop a guy named Jim Marchant, M-A-R-C-H-A-N-T. Maybe it's Marchant. He wants the Republican nomination for Senate in Nevada. And he's all in on the famous thousand-year plot by the Jews that includes the assassination of Abe Lincoln.
Really?
John F. Kennedy?
Wow.
We're in on everything. This is according to the Jewish Insider publication. Mr. Merchant suggested that this group, which of course backs the Democratic Party, of course. Had a plan for thousands of years. Actually, they're evil people. You know, they've taken control of everything through the money system. And just look it up. It started with the Khazarians. The Khazarians pertains to a theory that Ashkenazi Jews, are descended from the Khazarians. Wait a minute. Didn't they become famous after the O.J. Simpson trial? And they got really.
I was going to say.
Oh, that's not the Khazarians.
That's a little close to the Kardashians for me.
Yeah. They're an Eastern European ethnic group. The Ashkenazi Jews, of course, often featured in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. And the rest. Mr. Marchant went on to say that the group infiltrates everything and has practically forever, including, of course, the central bankers. They've controlled everything. They bailed us out after the Civil War, but then they turned that into a corporation. What?
I don't know. This is all unimpeachable as far as I'm concerned. This is solid logic.
The claim that Abe Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Reagan, and Nixon were targeted for assassination also.
So you, but
they
you guys
oppose the plan.
But you guys as Jews did a shitty job because you didn't finish Reagan. You tried a couple of times against Ford. That didn't work out. You guys suck. I mean, you've done better work.
Britt, we thought that elevating Reagan to head of the Screen Actors Guild, you know, head of a union, would be good enough, but apparently it wasn't, and he decided he wanted to be president. So this is the Nevada U.S. Senate seat held right now by Senator Jackie Rosen.
Yeah.
And she is Jewish, and she was a president of her synagogue.
Oh, boy.
Maybe she still is president of her synagogue in Nevada. And this idiot claims that she votes for the globalist corporations and the cabal, basically. And she gets told what to do, voting for bills that keep the cabal in power in order to suppress the U.S. economy. I don't mean to actually bother to answer this shit, but Jerome Powell, head of the Federal Reserve, not a Jew.
Oh, okay. Come on. Well, they did that to throw us off. That's a red herring. He threw us off the track.
Oh, so he plays golf with Jews. Is that it?
That's what it is. He's taking marching orders, but they were like, it's a little too on the nose. Let's have a goyim up there just to throw him off of the scent, to make him relax for a little while. Because as most Americans do, I start looking through cabinet positions and treasury and stuff and going, Jew. I start counting them out. It's very important to me.
Now, to be fair, the Secretary of the Treasury is Janet Yellen, who used to be the head of the Federal Reserve, and she is Jewish, as is Secretary of State Anthony Blinken.
Oh, boy.
Also, so, I don't know.
But to be fair, so was Daniel Snyder and David Tepper. So the Jews, they're doing really good with the world order stuff, but with football, they're sucking.
Bad owners.
I would suggest what you guys do on your next. I don't know if Zoom has made it easier for you guys to get together, or if you share a Google Work document or something like that. Work on the football stuff a little bit.
this fool Marchant tried to become the Secretary of State of Nevada in 2022. And fortunately, he's an underdog here. He's also a proponent, of course, that Donald Trump won the 2020 election and it was stolen from him. And he's big on that alternate slate of electors trick, the Green Bay sweep, if you will.
This is where we have them like this standing by in a closet or a meeting room, and then we just roll them out, and these are the real electors, and these are the people that have been, you thought were electors, were not electors.
No, I'm thinking more, you know, in like every Abbott and Costello movie, there's always a false wall, okay, that flips around, turns around, okay, yeah. You know, like Frankenstein is on one side, and a beautiful woman is on the other side, okay?
I'm sure this man has been roundly denounced by Republicans everywhere. I'm sure he's been pilloried and marginalized to a great extent for these. It is kind of funny to laugh at these views, but some people, unfortunately, more and more people, and you have to peel just a couple off, are taking this shit seriously and then acting on it, you know?
Are you drinking?
No, I mean,
thinking that this guy's being denounced.
Well, that was a joke. I'm sure. I'm sure that no one has taken. Hey, he's not one of us. As Republicans, we stand up to this hate. Oh wait, that hasn't happened. Yeah. It's always I don't know. You have to take it seriously because there are too many people taking this shit seriously, but it's just. They strain at credulity. I saw that was a really good opinion piece, and I think it was in the Washington Post, and it was about the Dark Brandon meme, about that Dark Brandon thing, because the White House or the Biden campaign put that out after the Super Bowl with Dark Brandon with the laser eyes going, ha, it happened just the way we drew it up. Like, you know, the whole Super Bowl, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, they've leaned into it. The Biden people have kind of leaned into this stupid shit. Whereas in the past, you know, it's not something necessarily that liberals have tried to make fun of or tried to at least kind of lean into.
And, see, but the problem is self-effacing humor.
Yeah.
Clever is not as effective as complete insanity.
No.
With Trump. It just isn't.
Among those people.
It just isn't.
You get into a situation where those people feel and they start complaining, oh, you're just laughing. You're marginalizing us. That's what you coastal elites, Hollywood types, Jews, whatever. That's what you do to us in middle America is you marginalize. No, I laugh at stupid shit, no matter where it comes from. And I'm sorry if you embrace this stuff, but this is stupid shit. You can't give any of this any kind of oxygen. You can't let the 3-year-old tell you that it was the boogeyman that came and ate the cookie, because you know damn well that it was the 3-year-old that got the cookie. And you can't entertain it and go, All right, I'm going to call the cops and see if we can get the boogeyman. Give me a description of that, little Tyler. No, you can't entertain this shit. It's not even worth entertaining.
I'd like to interrupt this Brad and Britt cast for a reminder that as we record this, it's Valentine's Day, and who better to use as a role model on how to treat your sweetheart than America's number one Valentino, Donald J. Trump.
Your favorite president.
He has wished Melania a happy Valentine's Day, of course, publicly.
Yeah.
Here we go. In a campaign email. Okay, does that count? It's a campaign email that he sends out.
Is he raising money off of it? It's Valentine's gig. Give $5 for a Cuban zirconium necklace for Melania.
Dear Melania, I love you. Even after every single indictment, arrest, and witch hunt, you never left my side. You've always supported me through everything. I wouldn't be the man I am today without your guidance, kindness, and warmth. Would you like to translate that?
Give me $5. I'm broke and I have no other thing in business. I can't sell a product.
And they never speak. Okay. You will always mean the world to me, Melania. From your husband, with love, Donald J. Trump.
Don't forget. Who? Don't forget the prenup, bitch. That's also like embedded in there. You might want to leave. You can't.
Wait. Then they're directed to the website where you can leave your own Valentine's Day message.
Sure.
Of course, those messages, it's not a thread that everybody can read. So
Melania Trump is in the fucking Hotel California. That's where she is. She can check out anytime she likes, but she can never leave. Sorry, you knew what you were getting into.
Nikki Haley wrote a Valentine's Day message to Trump. Roses are red, violets are blue. I love dictators and they love me too. Happy
How does that work, the Jewish plot against Donald Trump? How does that work? Because he's been so, quote unquote, good to Israel. No president has ever been better to Israel. and yet the Jews seem to work nonstop at trying to destroy him. How does that work, Brad?
Are you asking me a rhetorical question or a question of substance?
The mindset of those people who feel like it's the witch hunt, everything's against him. He's God's chosen president. You know, he's God's pick, first round draft pick. And then you get into among his followers and the people who really brainwash. It's like, I love him. And I know that Israel is sacrosanct. And I know that Jews are God's chosen people, but they just continue to attack this man that I love so much and is doing so many great things for both Israel and the United States.
Right. Well,
it's hard to square all that, isn't it?
Without us completely falling into the gutter and getting granular about what's going on in the world, I'm not quite sure that the Donald Trump public Israel connection is the same as it used to be because of the war.
Right.
I mean, you'll notice you don't hear Donald Trump with a full-throated bit of support for the way Netanyahu is conducting the war against Hamas. Right. You don't hear that at all. He's been very quiet about that. And of course, he's never asked a question about it. Right. He's never asked a question, but that's not important because it's Biden who never answers a question. I forgot that. Don't worry. I didn't forget that.
It's interesting because I don't know. Does he feel like he can pick off some extra votes in Michigan or something if he holds off on praising Israel and patting Netanyahu on the back and stuff?
What's one of the you can't get away from it kind of stories of the last few weeks that Biden had to go to Dearborn, Michigan. He went there. He just went there to try to patch things up and let the heavy Arab American population of Dearborn and of Michigan in general, compared to other states, know that we're trying to get as much aid into there to the people. It's all covering your ass, but since Trump lies about everything, it's pretty hard to tell.
But he is consistent. He's a consistent liar. Let's go to that New York state of mind, because we could use a little bit of good news on this show.
All right. Okay. Here it is. There was a special election on Tuesday on Western Long Island into Queens for the old George Santos seat. And the conventional wisdom fortunately turned out to be wrong, and it wasn't as close as everyone thought. And the guy who did hold that seat up until 2 years ago, a guy named Tom Suozzi, was a congressman for, I think, three terms. He beat this. This is the interesting part of this. The Republicans were trying to figure out, well, who could we run in the George, for that George Santos seat, okay, because he's, of course, sullied the name of the Republican Party in that district, which, by the way, most of Long Island is surprisingly more Republican than Democrat. I mean, Long Island is not Manhattan, okay? It just isn't.
But these are not
Republican.
A lot of these folks in Long Island would be more of the country club Republicans versus the cultural kind of Republicans, correct?
Well, not country. Everybody in Long Island, there's not enough country clubs. When you have 4 million people, everybody doesn't belong. It's a very middle class a part of New York for the most part.
But are they interested in the social issues that the Republican Party is really preaching? The, hey, I don't want a transgender kid on my kid's swim team, that sort of shit?
Britt, I don't think the people that the Republicans think are interested in that are interested in that all across the country. Right? Do you see anybody really running on that issue ever now?
No, but it creeps in the background because you use it. I don't know if it's like a Trojan horse or a stalking horse, or you use it as like a side item on the value menu. Right now, the issue, and I was watching it again last night. All you got to do is watch Wheel of Fortune and or Jeopardy on any given night here, and you'll get the steady diet. It's the border. Joe Biden has failed.
You mean the commercials that are in the show. Yeah.
Every one of these people that are running mostly for the House, these are House seats that I'm mostly seeing. It's the border. Joe Biden fucked us at the border. These brown people are flooding over. They're taking over this shit. I stand with Texas. Fentanyl's coming into our country. That's what they're hitting super hard. And that's what they're trying to scare the shit out of people with. And I suppose particularly it's the suburban moms that they're going after. Those are the ones that always seem to decide elections.
This just in, this is a bulletin. The Republicans have squandered that issue.
You think so?
You can see all the vivid commercials that you want. But the fact that they voted down legislation that would largely give them everything that they've been supposedly asking for years, decades, that they've turned it down, and now they're complaining even more about the border. But this is the equivalent of, gasoline is $5 a gallon and it's killing people. No, it's not $5 a gallon, except in California, but it's not. So they're still complaining about things that they themselves decided they didn't want to vote for because Donald Trump needs, he needs a fire stick up his ass that he wants to poke up everybody else's ass to complain about a problem. He needs problems to complain about. God forbid anything should ever get solved in this country. About fucking infrastructure. For 4 years, he lied. For 4 years, he did nothing. For 4 years, even the couple of years that he had full control of both houses and the presidency, they passed nothing to build anything. So,
but they
guess
got,
what happened when he left office? Stuff got done.
Because as it turns out, this doddering old dementia-ridden man who's in the White House, he's pretty good at building coalitions and getting legislation passed.
But he doesn't know he's doing it. He's completely oblivious to his own success, Britt.
That's hilarious. They just handed Andy Reid a trophy and he goes, what?
Wait, I like for? That. Okay, Trumpers, here's your next t-shirt, okay? It's a little picture of Biden. It says, oblivious to his own success.
But they were able to get this Mayorkas guy. They were able to impeach that guy yesterday. It's the first time in two centuries that a cabinet member has been impeached, yeah. Brad.
And guess what? Nobody's even noticed it. It doesn't matter.
It's so great.
It's irrelevant.
It's funny.
Of course, he's never gonna get convicted over in the Senate. And the new demand is, well, now Biden, you have to fire him, okay? Which, of course, the chances that Biden would fire this guy now so that Trump could run around and claim that he forced Joe Biden to fire this loser, not very high. I mean, he may walk out on his own, but Biden's not going to fire him. And it's just, all right, so let's go back to Tuesday night then into Wednesday morning here. And you are correct. On Tuesday, the House, by a huge one vote margin,
they got Steve Scalise to come in, shaking off the cobwebs of chemotherapy to vote.
Isn't it great when they have to shake down the hospitals in the area to grab somebody to bring them in?
Well, we can't say anything because Al Green, the representative, was able to kind of wheel his way in, but they were counting on him not being there.
He's Al Green. What's the slogan for the Democratic Party? Let's stay together.
Stay together.
You see what I did? Al Green with the thing or any other thing.
And what happened when they had them grits dumped on him one time? It was really hurtful.
He did that. All right. Now we're going to talk to people on the street and see if they give stupid answers to stupid questions. God. All right.
So it was a big victory on Long Island for the Democrats.
And they didn't think it was going to be this much of a margin. I think it's an 8-point margin. And that's just a good thing. But the Republicans are already warning the Democrats, don't go around bragging about this. This doesn't represent anything. And objectively, it is kind of a unicorn election, but you know what? If the Republicans would have held that seat, Britt, do you think they wouldn't have gone around and trumpeted the greatest victory since World War II? Right? But they never win these elections, Britt. How many times do you have to hear people from Nikki Haley to Chuck Schumer to Joe Biden say the following things? 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, Donald Trump associated with you means you're going to lose the election. Only two exceptions, J.D. Vance and Ted Budd. Everyone else has lost.
The main reason that Georgia has two Democratic senators is Donald Trump. That's the main reason. I'm sorry, but these are just facts that people, you know. So, and there was also some other good news. They had an election for a guy who left his seat in Pennsylvania in their state house, and they now have a two-vote margin in the state. So, I mean, again, these are not – I don't know if they're bellwethers. I don't know if this means Joe Biden's going to win. I'll take victories over losses. That's what I'll do. I'll take wins over losses, and winning is better than losing. No,
They are. Here's why. Because, remember, when there's a poll that shows the Republican winning, it's huge news. Democrats in disarray. Then a few weeks later, there's the actual election. And what happens? The Democrat wins. So we forget about the Democrats in disarray. And now it's the Republicans. They always seem to do better in polling. And I'm surprised that Trump hasn't demanded a recount and a revote in New York because it snowed. Not fair. Democrats vote early. They use mail-in ballots. They get their votes already cast in the bag. So snow didn't affect them as much. Well, if you keep lying about how honest mail-in voting is, and you keep scaring your own people, the Republicans, to not do that because their vote isn't going to be counted, and then you keep losing elections, stick with it, Don. Stick with it. Because he can't change now, can he? I guess he could. No, he could change tomorrow.
No.
And and announce and pretend that he never said anything different, because he does that. And that everyone on his, yeah, that's right. Donald never said mail-in voting was bad. He never said that. That's what they do.
There was there's always somebody. I want to go back to Mayorkas for just a moment, because there's always somebody within the quote unquote deep state, the deep state, that Republicans have a gigantic hard on for. And for most of last year and the beginning of this year, it's this Mayorkas guy. Well, they got him. They got this guy. Now, previously in previous administrations and stuff, it was people like Van Jones, or if it was Susan Rice. Fauci, a couple of years ago, Fauci was the guy that they wanted to just kill beyond, to take his head off many, many years ago. There's always some, there was a woman in the IRS many years ago, earlier this century, that they had a huge hard on, and they were like, we got to get that woman. We got to get that.
It was Lois something. I can't
remember. Yeah, they were like, oh, we got to get her. She's the problem, and we're going to get that bitch. She's done. Yeah. And they eventually kind of do it. And this is one of those things with the Mayorkas thing, like you said, they've done it, but it's kind of like it's really, we don't know where to go from here.
But congratulations. You used the most potent weapon that the Congress has to, you know, balance off the power of the executive branch. You used impeachment, but you used it in the most arbitrary, pointless, evidence-free way. And they somehow think that this is equivalent to the baseless, factless, evidenceless impeachments of Donald Trump, which is not true. There was plenty of evidence against Donald Trump. And then they go, well, but Trump didn't get convicted either. So what's the difference between these two? Well, the difference is that Trump had 57 or so votes against him twice, right? He had like seven members of his own party voting against him. And just because the other 43 are just chicken shit, lily-livered, pencil-neck geeks, quote-unquote, and didn't do the right thing for this country, we're in the position that we're in right now. And Mr. Mayorkas is going to get zero votes to impeach from his own party. Trump got six or seven from his, and he should have gotten a lot more, but he didn't do anything that would be considered a high crime or misdemeanor. You may think he's a fuck up. You may not like what's going on at the border, but that's not an impeachable offense. It never was. They knew it, but once they started down that road, they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop themselves. They couldn't. It's a mess. Those people are just screwed up. So I'm back now to Mikey Johnson.
Yes.
So a reporter asked Mikey Johnson, does that mean that the Republicans in the House have a challenge in keeping the majority? Oh, great question. They've already got a full two-vote majority. You think that'll be a problem? What should Republicans do in the House? So here's his answer. No. The result last night is not something, in my view, the Democrats should celebrate too much. That wasn't his question. Okay. And the blame goes to the weather and the fact that Swazi was a fairly well-known guy in that area. I think he'd been a local councilman for decades. So they knew that he might have a shot there. And because the Democrats spent heavily, $15 million, Mike Johnson says, well, they only won it by 8 points, so that's what you got for your $15 million. I hope you're happy. It doesn't work that way. A W is a W, okay? Except when it's the other guys. Then it's a tainted W because you had snow on your side, you had name recognition on your side, and you had money on your side. Oh, kind of like the three things that you would love to have on any election day.
Correct.
Right?
You had It's like the Super Bowl. Well, you paid Patrick Mahomes $40 million. You only won by 3 points, and it took you overtime to get it. So that's what you get. That's what you get for your $40 million. Way to go.
Yeah, that was worth it, wasn't it? Yeah.
So dumb. So dumb. But, I'll take wins over losses. I'll take any, whatever you call it, you know, bellwethers, whatever you, harbingers. I don't care what it is. If they can do that.
So, Well, but turn it upside down. So the Republicans in this district, which, you know, technically, I know this was a Biden plus eight district, I think, in the 2020 election.
Okay.
But they did elect in 2022, unbeknownst to them, an idiot Republican, George Santos. And I think there had been some gerrymandering. You know, the districts were drawn a little bit differently. And I think they're going to be drawn a little bit differently for 2024. So this is not going to be the exact same district that Mr. Swazi just won in the other day. But do you think there was a meeting among the Republican intelligentsia? That's an oxymoron. In regard to this district, where they said, you know what, we've got a 3-vote margin in the House, and it's going to be down to 2. It was 4, but when Santos left, it was down to 3. And if we lose this, it's down to 2. Oh, let's not do anything. Let's not spend any money. Let's not care about it. That's not how it works.
No.
The fact is, and Trump, at least without saying it, is correct. Mitch McConnell is way more correct. They put up shitty candidates. Yeah. They put up shitty candidates. And why is that? Because the Republican Party has shaken itself down to the lowest common denominator of shitty candidates.
Right.
All the time. You mean there wasn't one decent, quote unquote, Republican in that part of New York that could run? No, they had to find, and you want to talk about politics that's, oh God, I can't think of the phrase now. I'm going full identity politics. This is full identity politics. The Republicans thought in this part of New York now, it's time to find a black Israeli who'd been in the Israeli army, who was born in Ethiopia, who's Jewish, to run with no political experience, who actually was a Democrat, but we can convince her to run for us as a Republican. That's the ticket to follow George Santos. So you want to talk about stupid identity politics.
Right.
Does it get any more base and pathetic than that? And she was terrible. Apparently, she didn't even campaign with real people. She didn't go out at all because she didn't know what to do. She was a loser.
That's unfortunate.
You think the Republicans said, yeah, this is how we're going to lose this seat. Let's lose it in style.
Right.
What is that?
I don't want to halfway blow this thing. I want to blow this thing huge.
Yeah. Mike Johnson. So New York 3, District 3, was what it was. By the way, that's the past tense of it is what it is. Yeah. It was what it was.
Thanks.
But that has nothing to do on the efforts going forward. No, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with anything. Every loss in every referendum across the country about abortion, it has nothing to do with the future. It has nothing to do with 2024. All these women across the country, they've already forgot about that abortion shit. They don't even remember it now. They've moved on.
Right.
All they care about is border policy and crime. That's all they care about. But it's only crime by mostly brown people against themselves. And by the way, on the record, the worst lie of the last 4 days was told, that's right, by you know who, Donald Trump. And I was watching this on, Friday? Yeah, it was Friday afternoon. Trump is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And it's the NRA convention. Didn't get a lot of national coverage, not that much. And he wanted to let you know that, quote unquote, here's what he said. During my 4 years, nothing happened. And there was great pressure on me having to do with guns. We did nothing. We didn't yield. And once you yield a little bit, it's just the beginning. That's when the avalanche begins. You know, that's the standard hard-ass Wayne LaPierre, we never give in. But here's the problem. 6 years ago today, as we speak, on February 14th, 2018. By the way, who was the president on February 14th, 2018, Britt? Go. Who was it?
It was Donald John Trump Sr.
Parkland High School, 17 people dead.
Oh, yeah.
But Donald Trump this is the most bold-faced lie ever. Nothing happened while he was president. There were no mass shootings.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Mass shooters were afraid to shoot anyone because they knew Trump, who of course is the chief of police of every city in the country and runs all law enforcement. Be nice. Don't be nice to him when you put him in the car. Remember that shit?
I remember he said that. Absolutely.
Long Island. He said that out on Long Island.
Wow.
But for him to say, I mean, you of course, he's talking to the NRA. That's just what they want to hear. They want to hear that while Trump was president, America was placid. It was safe. It really was a shining, peaceful city on a hill. And by the way, where did they get all of the video to use in those commercials in 2020 against Biden, the violence? Where did that come from? Biden wasn't president. Where did that come from? Yeah, yeah, right. But to say that he did nothing about guns, and so that's a great thing, and he didn't have to because nothing happened, and if something would have happened, he would have done anything. Do you remember what happened after Parkland? He sat down with some of the surviving kids and some of the surviving parents and had them come to Washington. Remember that? And he was so sensitive. And that lasted all of one day.
Yeah.
One day. The minute he did that, apparently Wayne LaPierre, the NRA, got on the phone with him and said, "What the fuck are you doing?"
That's right.
That's what Trump is bragging about. He's bragging about the fact that he caved to the gun lobby. He had one day of lucidity, which, you know, for him, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. He was almost thinking about possibly maybe doing the right thing, but no. But remember that he said that over the weekend on Friday, that he did nothing about guns because nothing happened. And by the way, that wasn't the only mass shooting during Trump's presidency.
No, there were many. There were many during the.
It's just many. Okay. Look at the time here. Let's finish with new game. Which is worse, Biden's age or anything? Have you seen this? Have you seen what they're doing? How they're juxtaposing Biden's age, and you know, you put up the graphic, and you can name anything else. So I came up with a list. We'll play the game here. Which is worse, Biden's age or Trump handing over Europe to Putin for the asking? Which is worse?
Trump handing over. Europe to put, and encouraging, by the way, Putin to attack.
Right. Which is worse, Biden's age or Trump undermining the immigration bill? We know.
It's Trump undermining the immigration bill.
Right. At this point, these are rhetorical. Which is worse, Biden's age or 91 felony charges? Which is worse, Biden's age or being a convicted rapist? Which is worst, Biden's age or Trump existing? Okay, it could go on forever. But that's what they're doing. Everything now is being equated to Biden's age, as if Donald Trump just got his driver's license last week. He's this young, sprightly guy. And the number of gaffes, the number of screw-ups, the number of foul-ups, the number of bleeps. And by the way, during that NRA speech that he gave on Friday, he pronounced subsidies as subsies, S-U-B-S-I-E, subsies. And he did give this speech on Friday, but he said it was Saturday afternoon. You know what? Anybody can mess that up. It can happen. So the both sidesism that's going on here now, and making anything relative to Joe Biden's age and using that as kind of a balance off of anything that Trump is doing, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It's wrong. It's journalistic malpractice. Get out of the business.
Yeah.
You got to do better than that. And this is across the board. This isn't just, you know, small timers. This is... God. And, you know, maybe in the end, this hack prosecutor, Mr. Herr, will have done everyone a favor, because this is going to go through the cycle, and it's better to get it out. It's better to talk about it. You know, Biden isn't running from it. That's important. And I think most of us do know that if you have an 80 or 85 year old parent or grandparent, they might not be perfect in the way they speak. But you know what most people say? And I can remember this about my father-in-law. And he died at 87. But I'm telling you, at 83, even if he didn't speak perfectly, he was fucking 10 times smarter than I ever was about everything. And he could express himself just fine.
Okay.
He could get it out. And I think that's going to be the way it's going to end up with Biden. And remember, Trump is deteriorating, I would say, more quickly in public than Joe Biden is. But it isn't a contest. It's right. Not. It's not a contest. And you have to separate gaffes and bloopers, bleepers, and foul-ups with policies and intent and love of the country and what's in it for me. What's in this for Joe Biden? Another 5 years, another 4 years of not being able to spend time with the kids, write his memoirs, and bask in a successful one-term presidency. That's what's in it for him. For Trump, it's just being able to stay out of prison and wreak revenge on anybody that ever looked cross-eyed at you. That's what's at stake here. Democracy is at stake.
Yeah.
The safety of the world is at stake. Not having Secretary of State Stephen Miller is at stake. So we got a job to do here, Britt.
We definitely do. We know what it is, and we got to roll up our sleeves. Get out there, get her done.
There you go. There you go. All right. That's it for the week for us. We will. Well, you know what, Britt? Monday is going to be a clear day.
It looks like a good day for me as well, sir.
All right, so we'll meet back here again on Monday. Don't forget to send those love notes to Melania Trump on behalf of former President Trump on his website. I'm actually looking at his site here, okay?
Somebody should bake a cake for her and put like a file in it like they used to do back in the movies.
On the left side of it, it says a Valentine's Day letter from Donald Trump. I read that before. On the right side is a big picture of him at some rally waving. And then in the middle, it says, wait, before you go, no matter how many vicious lies and attacks they throw our way, President Trump will never surrender our great country to the left's tyranny. But the Democrats will spend billions and billions of dollars to try to stop our movement. And we're counting on your support to finish what we started. Together, we will... capital letters, not only that, dark capital, dismantle the deep state, win back the White House, and save America. Please consider completing your contribution today. Complete my contribution. I didn't start one.
Yeah,
I didn't do one. I guess they're counting on the illiteracy of people who read this. I love the uneducated. What about you?